Have you ever wondered what you would get if you crossed a school teacher with a vampire hunter? You would get a character that almost always has a plan, rarely curses, but is willing to rip your heart out. The fantasy novel Blood Magic by R.L. Collins has been released on Amazon. Welcome to Blood Magic, the podcast. Selena Anderson is in Richmond, Virginia, with the Guardians, beginning to explore her powers. Before I opened my eyes, I smelled a hearty morning meal. Fresh eggs, sausage, and coffee. I peeked and it was the same silver tray on the bedside table, but the goodies this time were breakfast. I sat up and looked around to find that I was alone in the room. Over on one side of the bed, Devlin's pallet was neatly folded. I sat up on the edge of the bed and had a good stretch. I felt refreshed and much more my old self until the previous day's events began to play through my mind. I still needed to escape. I went to the window and began to shift through the layers of curtains to see how much of the morning I had missed. I was greeted with a black starry sky. It was nighttime. I had slept away the whole day. I rearranged the curtains back to some semblance of order and sat on the edge of the bed feeling frustrated. I was supposed to go to the police station to talk about the murder at the library. Hopefully they came looking for me when I didn't show up and found my vandalized door. There was a knock at this bedroom door. Once again, I wasn't quite sure if I was supposed to say come in. Either way, I didn't think I really had a choice. Before I could waver too long, Devlin walked in. He was in black jeans. They were topped off by a white tank top that did a good job of showing off his frame. He had a bundle of clothes in one hand and carefully placed them in the leather chair. "You haven't tried the breakfast?" he asked casually. "It's nighttime again," I said over my shoulder. "I typically eat breakfast in the morning." "We have our nights and days reversed around here. We pretty much function on vampire time. First meal at dusk is breakfast," he explained as he walked around the bed to stand in front of me. "Vampires," I said more to myself than anyone else. Louder, I said, "I killed one of them last night, didn't I?" Devlin sat down next to me and together we faced the blanketed window. "Yes, you did. And you were a good shot," he complimented me. "At least I have to believe that otherwise I murdered another human being." I was trying to wrap my mind around the things I had learned in the last 24 hours. "He was far from human," Devlin said. "What happens when someone finds the body?" More and more questions were coming to mind. "Vampires disintegrate shortly after their death. There would be nothing for anyone to find. We just didn't stick around long enough to see that," he added. "How long have vampires been around?" "As long as humans. They are a missing evolutionary link." "Why don't more people know about them?" I countered. "People do know some things about them. There are myths and legends and cultures around the world, not to mention the books and the movies about vampires. The stories may have different twists to them, designed to entertain us and even scare us, but there is a bit of truth. But now the tales are like stories about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. Everyday people would laugh if you tried to convince them that vampires really exist." He was right. I wasn't sure if I believed everything that happened yesterday, even the things I saw with my own two eyes. I was afraid of what it meant if I did. I continued to muddle through it. "It was your blood that I drank at the farmhouse, and then I had that idea." "Vision," he interrupted. "A vision of those vampires coming after us," I continued. "Yes," he said a little more wary. We sat shoulder to shoulder, not quite looking at each other. I paused, trying to put the pieces together. "You're not quite all human." I made it more of a statement than a question. I turned to look at his profile. "In a way, you're right." He sat there for a time as if trying to decide how to proceed. I patiently waited. He took a deep breath, letting it fill him. Then he began. "I was in Brazil about 3 months ago tracking down a woman that Marcus was after. She worked as a waitress at a local bar in São Paulo. I finally convinced her that her life was in danger and she'd be safer coming with me and the Guardians. The bar closed around 3 a.m. and she let me walk her home. We were at her place and she was packing in the back room when Marcus and his thugs broke in. They overtook me and tied me up and killed the girl. I'd been eluding Marcus for months and hiding the women he was after. He thought to punish me for it by trying to turn me. He knew that the paw people couldn't be turned into vampires. We die a slow, painful death instead. So he drank from me, then forced his blood into me. I began to have these terrible convulsions. My whole body felt like it was on fire. Assuming my death had begun, Marcus and his men left quickly. I passed out from the pain, thinking I'd never wake up again. But I did wake up, and I saw the world a little bit differently. Colors were sharper. I could smell and hear people in other rooms of the apartment building. I found I was also stronger, strong enough to break the tough binds I'd been left in. "But you're not a vampire." I was enthralled by his story. "No, I'm more of a hybrid. I have some of the strength of a vampire without needing to drink blood." "So you're special. Are there any others like you?" I asked. "No, just as there are no others like you," he said, as they finally turned to me. "I need you to drink my blood and tell me what is to come. You are the one Marcus is looking for, the one can destroy him and save us all." Devlin stood up and knelt between my knees. With his height, this put him right at eye level with me. He pulled a blade out of the waistband of his jeans and made a shallow cut at the base of his neck. His face was guileless. His clear green eyes blinked at me from beneath sable lashes. I wasn't sure I wanted to be so special that the weight of a people was on my shoulders. I knew if I willingly drank this time, I was changing my life for forever. I put my hands on Devlin's shoulders and watched the crimson line course its way down over his collarbone until it met the strap of the tank top and stained it. He put his hands on either side of my hips on the bed, and he waited for me to make my decision. I leaned in and touched the tip of my tongue to the cut on his neck. I rolled the drop around in my mouth. Then I sealed my fate as I sealed my mouth around the wound and began to drink. The vision came to me more quickly this time. I saw a scene surrounded by gray and dense concrete. The structure was dilapidated and musty. There were black shadows with fierce red eyes circling around another figure. The man in the middle of the darkness shone like a pure white moonbeam, but he was fading. He was fighting for his life and slowly losing. "The vampires have one of your brothers," I gasped as I broke from Devlin's neck. I was pressed firmly against the top half of his body. His arms had encircled my waist. I was so engrossed in the vision, I wasn't quite sure when or how our positions changed. "He's outnumbered, and he's losing. They are not far from here in an abandoned warehouse. They caught him shortly after dusk." Devlin tentatively caressed the side of my face and looked into my eyes. "Gold fire," he breathed. Then his resolve began to change. He was steeling himself for the fight. He sat me gently on the edge of the bed. "I know who you are talking about. Lincoln left right at dusk, and there's an old meatpacking warehouse about 5 miles from here." "Thank you." He strode from the room with purpose. The blood had energized me. I could feel that fresh from the vein was much more potent than what I'd had before. I went into the bathroom and flipped on the lights. My eyes had indeed changed. They were like golden orbs with no iris, no pupils, nothing. My cocoa skin was flushed and luminous but cool to the touch. My hair, loose from its braid, was curling in ringlets of blue-black around my face. I looked at my hands and arms, noting the veins and muscles, and feeling a sense of strength that wasn't there before. A little more shocking was the stain of blood across my full lips. I wondered about my own state of humanity. I had a sense of foreboding that I was being led down a path where I wouldn't quite be the same once all of this was over. With my heightened senses, I could hear Devlin shouting orders in another part of the house. Men were running, gathering around him to develop a strategic plan to retrieve their fellow guardian. I knew there was one that stayed behind to guard my door. I could hear his even breathing and smell the cup of coffee he was drinking. I left the restroom and went to the door of my prison. This time, I didn't hesitate before opening the door and slipping out. The refrigerator was sitting across from the door and quietly drinking his cup of coffee. He quickly put it down and stood when he saw me and began giving me a knowing smile. But it froze.
on his lips. "Your eyes," he whispered. He stood transfixed until I turned and started to walk down the hall to the stairs. "Ma'am, you need to return to your room," he drawled and made the mistake of grabbing me by the shoulder. I pivoted on my heels, put my hand in the center of his chest, and pushed with all my might. It was a little too much. He flew backwards down the hall and landed on the chair, hitting his head. He was out cold. A little startled by my own violence, I almost stopped to tend to him. Almost. The blood had made me stronger than I could ever dream. At the marble staircase, I had a decision to make. I felt the night calling me, and I wanted to go to the gardens. I could hear the men down below in another room. I couldn't be sure they wouldn't see me first. I decided to proceed with my own desires. I had been doing what someone else told me for over 24 hours. That was far too much, in my opinion. I crept down the stairs in my bare feet, keeping my ears turned to the men. My next task after seeing the gardens would be to find some shoes for myself. At the bottom of the stairs, I was in the grand foyer. I noticed there was a door opposite the main entrance. I turned to it and began walking in that direction. I could smell cut grass and roses the closer I got. I was headed in the right direction. I passed a fine dining room on the left and a high-tech entertainment room on the right. Under other circumstances, I would have lingered to admire the decor, but I was on a mission. I heard the refrigerator groan as he came to upstairs. I hastened my pace. He would surely alert the others that I was not where I was supposed to be. At the door, I could sense something was off. There was an energy that vibrated around the door as I put my hand on the knob. I didn't know what to make of it, but I wouldn't be denied having come this close. I turned the knob and opened the door. A blaring security alarm sounded. I ground my teeth and balled my free hand into a fist. "To hell with it," I whispered, and left the mansion, closing the door behind me. Outside, the night was in full bloom. Overhead, the stars winked from the vast darkness of the sky. The moon shone silvery white. All around, the rose garden was rich and abundant. I could see the rainbow of colors clearly. The grass was soft and dewy beneath my feet. The maze loomed in front of me, a puzzle waiting to be solved. I started towards the cobbled path that wove its way through the garden. I knew he was behind me before he even spoke. "Selena, what are you doing out here?" Devlin asked more quietly than I expected. "I'm just getting some fresh air," I said over my shoulder. "Gerald has a bump on the back of his head and he's a little confused. Did you have to be so rough with him?" he chided. "Oh, really? Well, he asked for it. I just wanted some fresh air. I don't want to be a prisoner here." "You understand now what we're up against. You need to be protected. The effects of my blood are temporary. You're stronger now, but it won't keep you safe until this is over." "I want to be free to come as I go," I persisted. I could indeed feel the effects of the blood wearing off. I reached out and touched the rose, turned silver in the moonlight. The sounds of the alarm cut off. "If you leave, will you agree to take me with you, just for protection?" "I'll think about it," I grumbled, knowing I wasn't going to be seeing the maze tonight. "I need a better answer than that," he pushed. He was closer than a moment ago. "Okay. Fine," I said, then I had a thought. I finally turned to face him. I noted the cut on his neck had already healed and disappeared. The only evidence of the exchange we had earlier was a dark stain on his tank top. "Is it just your blood that will give me the visions?" I asked. "Yes," he said, tight-lipped. "You're not sure." It was more of a statement than a question. "I want to find out." He gave an emphatic no. "Why?" He looked over my head and narrowed his eyes. "I consider it part of my job," he said grudgingly. Then he held out his hand to me. "Lincoln is the one missing. We must retrieve him and clear the vampires from the area. Then we'll be back. Can you stay inside and wait? Please." I hesitated for a moment, considering my options. "Okay, I can do that," I said as I walked back to the door, ignoring his hand. "Once this is over with Marcus, I'm going back to my life. I want no more interference from you or any of your people," I said firmly. I had a feeling that there were things he was keeping from me, and I didn't like being in the dark. "I'd also like some shoes and to talk to Maxine," I finished, as I walked back into the mansion with a stronger resolve. "Deal," Devlin said, and I turned to see him trying to hide a smile.
Chapter 5. Guard duty had changed to Thomas, a very enthusiastic, red-headed, blue-eyed man that radiated charm. He could have easily been on someone's college campus giving tours instead of escorting me to Maxine's padded prison. At her door, I hesitated. I had struck a strange deal, but what would motivate her to stay? Was it even my place to convince her? "I'll be out here while you two talk," Thomas informed me in a very polite tone as he unlocked Maxine's door for me to enter. Inside was another grand design, but this one was in navy and silver. Maxine jumped up from the silver ottoman by the lushly curtained window. "Selena, I'm so happy to see a familiar face," she gushed as she came forward. We embraced in a sisterly hug. "How are you holding up?" I asked after a moment. "I must say they're being very nice, with the exception of the locked door. However, I'd much rather be at home," Maxine said more quietly. We sat down together on the edge of the bed that was covered in a navy plaid quilt. "Maxine, I've decided to stay," I said as I looked into her coffee-colored eyes. "But why?" "You've seen them. They're vampires after us. I don't think the police can protect us from these monsters. I'm only going to stay long enough to help the Guardians get rid of the leader, Marcus. After that, I think it will be safe for us to go back to our lives," I explained. "How will you fight against vampires?" she countered. "The men have been fighting them for a while. They know their strengths and weaknesses. Also, I found that I have these visions that show when the vampires are close or there's an immediate danger." "Visions?" "Yes, like at the farmhouse. I saw the vampires coming and told Devlin. That's how he knew to get us out so quickly. I decided to just tell the truth and hope for the best. I couldn't have lies either outright or by omission when our lives could depend on it. I think you should also stay until this blows over," I finished. "What can I do against vampires?" she asked. "We can ask Devlin when he gets back. I'm sure there's something you can contribute," I hoped. "Don't worry, I want to go back to my normal life as much as you do," I added. "Yes, I want my life back. I'll give it some time to think up over. Yes, I want my life back. I'll give it some time to think over," she said as she grabbed my hand and gave a gentle squeeze. "If we take one of the Guardians with us, I think we would have freedom to come and go as we please," I said. "I'd like to see if they're saying anything about the murders on the news," Maxine said as she stood up. "Okay, I'll join you shortly." Together we walked to leave the room that had been like a padded prison. "Thomas," I said as I opened the door. He stood at attention in front of the chair next to the door. "Maxine is staying. She's going downstairs to watch the news. I'm going to my room to freshen up." He eyed us warily. He obviously couldn't be in two places at the same time and had to make a decision. After a moment, he escorted Maxine to the living room. Back in my room, I was happy to find a toiletry kit and almost everything a person would need in the morning. I realized someone had been shopping. There were jeans and a rather patriotic red and white blue shirt that said I love the USA, in my size, with the tag still on, along with some blue flip-flops. I spied the red leather journal from Marcus. I hadn't seen it since I was back in my apartment. I quickly freshened up, changed, and ate breakfast. Then I decided to read more of the journal. If Marcus was operating true to form, the journal was from my birth mother, the woman who had given me up for adoption. I'd often wondered about her and what kind of life she lived where she couldn't keep me. Maybe the journal would give me some insight. I settled down in the leather chair with the volume and began to read. Thank you for listening. Tune in, same time, same place, next week, as we hear stories from the Red Leather Journal.